Amen. Awesome. Lastly, I'm really excited. So we got like the stretch of these guest speakers that are absolutely incredible. We just finished up a stretch of 4 or 5 of our ladies preaching in a row. Come on, give a hand to the ladies. There you go. And today is going to be a speaker who is someone who's really special to me and someone who is awesome. So when I first came here in 2010, this person, I jumped into the youth ministry and I started a small group, and this person was a part of my first small group. They're a part of every small group I have led since then. This person has such an incredible faithfulness, has such an incredible call on his life, and honestly, he truly has so much in him that I say, guys, I don't just want you to look at him and go, man, that's a cool guy. I want you to look at him and go, man, I want to be like him. Okay, and so. Now the sad part is, and it makes me really, really sad, but excited for God. Like, I'm excited for him and what he's doing, but he's transitioning, and we've talked about this. He's moving out of Eminent leadership and he's moving into young adult leadership. And that makes me sad, but it makes the kingdom happy. And because I know that he has such incredible things, and God was speaking to this to both of us actually before either one of us had this conversation, that there's a transition coming. And so for the sake of honor, for the sake of how desperately I love this young man, can we please like stand up on our feet, give a huge round of applause for the years of life and effort that Tommy Graff has given us. Come on.
I was not expecting that. I gotta be honest, guys, this is kind of a tough service for me. I've put about 8 years of my life in this ministry. I told myself I wasn't gonna get emotional and it already started. About 8 years of my life into this ministry, and it's been some of the best years of my life, guys. I love every person here. I love Pastor Drew for being my mentor all of these years. I love, or Pastor Drew, I guess you're over here. I thought you were over there. It's hard to see. I love every friend I've made, every student I've been able to minister and grow great friendships with, you know. I'll never forget you guys, okay? And I'll be around, you know. I'm not leaving, you know, for good. And a lot of you, I hope, will come up to young adults and be on fire for God, and we'll get to go at it again, you know. I'm excited for that, actually. So anyways, get myself together. So tonight, I fought with God a lot about this service, what I wanted to talk about, what I wanted to impart as kind of like my last thing I get to pour into you guys, you know. I really fought with God a lot about it, and of course, he won. I can't beat him, so what we're going to be doing today, I'm just going to go briefly what we're going to do, and then we're going to do it, and it's hopefully going to be great, and God's going to take over. So first, we're going to start off by just like, I'm going to read a quick verse, okay, and we're going to have 3 different sections of verses today. There's going to be a lot of reading, so I expect every person here, including the junior hires, to pay full attention as hard as they can and trust in God, and then we're going to, you know, all hopefully be wrecked by God, and it's going to be great. So to start, if I could get Romans 14, 17 through 19 up. So, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. So really, to me, what this was saying is, we're supposed to work as a community. We're supposed to do things together. We're supposed to build each other up and everything that includes, reading the Bible and whatnot. And that's why I love that we do the Thursday and the Sunday things. If you don't know what that is, you better check those out, where we dissect, what we were reading for that week. So what I felt like God was saying today is we're going to take most of Romans 14 and we're just going to dissect the verses. We're just going to read almost all of it, and then we're going to just go through what it's saying and what God is saying, because Paul is a way better speaker than I am, and he wrote this, so I'm going to let him do most of the talking and let God do the rest of the talking, and hopefully it'll work out. So if I could get Jackson to come up here, we're going to do things a little differently. I'm actually going to have him read the majority of what we're speaking about today.
Thank you. All right. Thanks. Romans 14, 1 through 15. Accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but other believers with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. For those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't, and those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall, and with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again. So whether we live or die, we belong to God. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know, and I am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus, that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, and then for that person to eat it is also wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died for. Come
on. Thanks, Jackson. Okay, guys, so that was a lot of reading, and it's really, really good. So what we're going to do is everyone stand up really quickly, because I know that that's a lot to process, so we're going to make sure we get it out of our system, all the anxiety, anxiousness right here. All right, now touch your toes or touch the ceiling or something. I don't know. Get your energy out and then sit down when you're ready. No one can touch the ceiling? Okay, sit down. You can sit down now. You're ready. One second. All right, guys. So there's a lot of really good stuff in there. And a lot of it goes together. But I kind of had to pick and choose, and God had to pick and choose what we're speaking on, what we're going to really push into. And so the one thing that I really felt God was speaking to is that everyone's sin is different. Everyone has, obviously there's certain things like murder, obviously is bad no matter who you are. You can't murder. But there's a lot of gray areas, especially in, you know, things that are written thousands of years ago. There's going to be a lot of gray areas about what's sin in 2018, you know? Whether that thing that just people just started doing, is that a sin? How is the Bible supposed to write about that 2,000, you know? Because in 2,000 years of people being like, what the heck does this mean, you know? So there's a lot of gray areas, especially in things like that. And I feel like God is really saying that everyone sin is different for everyone because of this. So what one person's sin or conviction may be, another person it may be different. So a couple examples of that is like, for instance, for me, I'm really passionate about music and things like that. And Mary will tell you that that there's a lot of music that I actually can't listen to mentally because I just don't like the way that it impacts me. You know, there's a lot, I get really convicted when certain songs will come up and I'm hearing it. It just makes me feel like crap, you know. And so for me, if I'm to listen to listen to that, it'd be sin for me because I don't feel right. I feel convicted when I listen to it. So, but for someone else, I mean, it's not necessarily bad songs that I'm talking about, you know. If a song is bad, you shouldn't listen to it no matter what. But I'm talking about for songs that shouldn't necessarily always be bad. If for some one person, it might be completely fine. But for me, it'd be sin for me to listen to this because I don't feel right, and I know God is telling me not to listen to this, you know. So if God is telling me not to do something, but he's telling someone else that they can, obviously we have different convictions and different sins. One other example that I have for this is, who remembers Pokemon Go? Yeah. So, you either, I can already tell by the reaction, you either love Pokemon Go or you hate Pokemon Go. And it's very similar to that, you know? Especially here in the church, too. So you either have the person, this is me, who got way too involved in it and also loved it because for multiple reasons, you know, it's fun, you get to hang out with friends, you get to, you know, be active, you know. But then there's also another argument that, you know, has certain spiritual things to it, whatever, and, you know, God could be saying different things to different people about this. For one person, for me, there was nothing wrong with me playing Pokemon Go. I loved it. It was fun. God never convicted me once for playing, you know. But for another person, that God is saying, like, hey, that game's not okay. There's a lot of people that God said that to. For them, if they're to go out and start playing this game that God is specifically saying, don't play this, is that sin? Yeah, because they're being convicted, and God's telling them not to do something. So it's very simple like that. If you're being convicted, one person can be convicted about something that another person is okay for. So it's that simple. Conviction is different for everyone. So what is the reason for this, guys? What is the reason for conviction in general? What is the reason that we're convicted differently? Conviction and not sinning it's all to please God, you know? And we all have different passions. We all have different desires, different needs, different wants in life. We all have different things that we're thinking. We're all made differently for a reason. So therefore, our convictions are going to be different, and we're supposed to please God in what we're passionate about. We're supposed to please God in what we desire and what we think, the way we think, the way we do things. We're supposed to please God. So our convictions are going to be different because the way we please God is supposed to be different as well. So live a life that pleases God. And it's as simple as if God is telling you to do something, not to do something, you don't do it, you just pleased God. You just glorified God in something you did. And that was talking about glorifying God. I believe it was verse 7 or whatnot. So society can change this as well. So I have a little story about Mary. So she just got back from Europe. For those of you who don't know, Mary's my girlfriend. She's been, you know, leader here for years as well. So she just got back from Europe. She went to Germany, Poland, and the Netherlands. And her mom is from Germany. So she knows a few German words, okay? And whatever, that's not a big deal, right? But if you go to Poland or the Netherlands and you say a German word, apparently it's this terrible thing to say a German word in one of those countries. Like, to the point where people were, like, telling her, like, that's a bad word, you can't say that, just regular German words. Because apparently, in those countries, German's words are, like, sin and bad. But, of course, saying a German word in America or in Germany is not bad, you know? You're not going to go to Germany and people think you're crazy for saying a German word. What's wrong, you know? But the sin, the society has made it to where saying a German word is good in one place, but it's bad in another place. So for different people, obviously it's not a sin in Germany, but if you're going to Poland and you're saying this word, you're saying it as a sin. You're saying it with probably bad intentions, you know, unless you're, you know, just visiting maybe. But you know what I mean, guys? Does that make sense? Okay, thank you for the feedback. So, and also, just sinning, swearing in general, Miss Carrie kind of talked about this last week. For those of you who weren't here, I would encourage you to listen to it, but I don't think it's online. She talked very briefly about just swearing and stuff, and how some words, you know, were bad maybe 5 years ago, but now they're kind of like, they're okay. Whatever, it's not a big deal. Like, whatever. Because society can change things. Society, so for different people, different times, different years, sin is differently. And that all just backs up the point that everyone's sin in the gray areas can be different. It can be. It's not always different, but it can be. So the swearing kind of leads me into my next point. If someone else thinks you're sinning, are you sinning? If I got to get Romans 14, 20 through 23 up. So don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it's wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. Paul even at one point starts talking about, if one person thinks something is wrong, I won't even go back to my own house and do it. So the bug flew on my face if you didn't see that. So I ask again, if someone else thinks you're sinning, are you? It's up to you to decide, you know. So swearing may be societal. You know, you may think that saying a certain word is not bad. You may think that saying a German word in Poland is not bad, but it may be bad. And if you're going to Poland and you're just, I don't think this is bad, whatever, I'm just going to continue to say these German words because it's not a big deal to me. Like, why would that be? I mean, you're causing other people to stumble. You're causing other people to hear and fill their minds with things that are negative to them. So you're really sinning, and according to this, you're causing other people to stumble. Causing others to stumble, what are you doing? You're tempting them. And who's the one that's supposed to tempt? Satan. He's the one that tempts us. So really, what you're doing, if you're tempting someone else to sin, tempting someone else with desires or bad things, you're really doing Satan's work for him. Why make that any easier for him, you know? Come on, guys. So a couple examples of this is just really simple, basic things that were pretty much the first things that came to my head. Like, if you got an alcoholic that you're sitting with, or someone that doesn't think alcohol is okay, whether or not you're 21, if you're not 21, you better not be drinking. But if you are 21 and you have a glass of wine around them, come on, guys, you're tempting them. You know that they're against it. You know, I mean, if you don't know, you should probably figure it out beforehand. But let's be honest. Generally, you should probably just stay on the safe side, guys. Or like another example of this, let's say you have someone that you know is a thief or whatever. They struggle with stealing or taking, you know, things that they can't. Are you going to lend them money? Are you going to just, hey, hold on to this $20 for me? I mean, generally, if it's someone you know, whatever. But like, you're not going to do it to someone randomly on the street. You're not going to tempt people with that because it's just stupidity. You know, you're not, in that example, you're losing something, but maybe it's someone else's $20. I don't know. So I hope that you guys caught on to most everything I've said so far. I have a lot here, so I spoke as fast as I could, and I'm still going long, not too long. But so in closing, I just got a question. Like, what does all this mean? Like, what is all this understanding of conviction mean? And I really encourage you guys, go back and read Romans 14. And I really mean that because I don't have enough time to really dissect it as much as I would like. And it's really, really good in it. It really gives some light on why we're convicted, what conviction really is, like what we don't understand about the gray areas of sin. It really explains that very, very well. So if I could just get verse 23 back up. So, but if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. I have written here, doubt equals conviction. If I could get someone to do the piano thing over here. So a few things while you're in high school that I remember. People would ask you, hey, you want to come to that party? If you're doubting it, you're being convicted. That's what that plainly says. If you're doubting whether or not you should go to that party because you know there's going to be alcohol there, you know they're going to have drugs, or you know who knows what, you're already being convicted by questioning it. Another example, a really, really prevalent example, is your girlfriend or boyfriend. For those of us in this room, if you don't know what you're doing is okay, it's not. As simple as that. If you don't know whether or not you should kiss your girlfriend or boyfriend, don't. It's as simple as that. And if God plainly says, hey, you can give them a kiss because you're going to marry them, then that's one thing. But if you don't know and you're not 100% sure that what you're doing is okay with God in God's eyes and with every single leader and pastor in this church, then you better not be doing it because you're already doubting it. Okay? It says plainly that doubt is conviction. Lastly, one that strikes home or is a little less blunt is just going to the movies. You know, something as simple as that. Like, if you're going to a movie and you know it's rated PG because all of us only watch rated G movies. It's rated PG, and so you're questioning whether or not you should go to it. It's whether or not it's bad enough or good enough for you. They say one cuss word in it. Whoa, you know. If you're questioning that, you're already being told by God that, hey, this movie's not okay. If I could have you guys stand up real quick. So the big thing I talked to God about before this message is I didn't want to come up here and feel like I'm trying to push conviction on anyone, because that's not my job. It's not my job to convict one person in here. It's solely God's job, and that's why I really wanted to just kind of dissect the verse, because I don't want these to be my words talking. I want it to be God's words. So what we're going to do here is we're going to really just kind of search our hearts. Everyone in here, we're going to be spread across the room, and we're just going to get alone with God and just say, God, hey, what am I doing? What am I not doing? Where am I being ignoring your convictions, ignoring what you're saying to me? Because everyone does it. You're not alone. I guarantee you everyone in this room has something that they're doing, something that they shouldn't be doing, something that they should be doing in their life, that they're ignoring the convictions, the stop signs in front of them that this verse is telling us about. So to find confidence in your convictions is to find freedom from sin. If you're confident in what is right and what's wrong, you have nothing stopping you. You have nothing stopping you from being free from that sin that holds you back. If you know for a fact what's right and what's wrong by this verse, you have just so much more power. So if I could have everyone just spread across the room, we're going to take some time for reflection. God, I just lift up this great youth group and group of people and leaders, and God, we just want to encounter you tonight, God. I pray that you just begin to speak your heart and your mind to people in Jesus' name.
Constantly challenging you not to just think about yourself, but to think about the people around you, right? And that's what this is, a lot of this is about. It's your convictions are not just your convictions. Your convictions are your brothers and your sisters and your friends and your neighbors and the convictions of those around you. Otherwise, I love how Tommy put it, otherwise, by what you do, you are tempting those around you, and you're doing the job of the enemy for him. I think that's crazy. And so I want to challenge you to write down, as you're thinking about, what is this? What are the things that I'm doing that maybe are fine for me? I want to encourage you guys, live in freedom. Live in freedom, but live free to love others. Right? You have a freedom to love others, and this is something I want to encourage you guys to live in. And this is I think it's such a good word from Tommy that you can hear from not only in youth, but you can give that same message to young adults, and you can give that same message to the adults in our church, and how we live, and we should live differently because of the people around us, especially in this church where we have, and I love it, we have all kinds of races here, all kinds of ethnicities, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of people. And when you have a group like that, different groups, things will mean different things to them. I went to Honduras, and when I was in Honduras, I would always say things like, oh man, that's stupid. Man, so I'm so stupid when I do something like this. Or like, in that word, stupid, in Honduras, saying estúpido is like the worst thing you can say to someone. It is like, it's the worst cuss word of all cuss words. And it's crazy because you would never think that. But because of that, I had to change the way I acted. Not because saying stupid was a conviction of mine, but because it was a conviction of theirs. Right? And one conviction I want to specifically highlight in this room is there are some of you in here who, in conviction, I want to specify, it's not shame. It's not beating yourself down. It is God saying, okay, I'm calling you forward. See this? I'm changing it in you and I'm pulling you forward. Let's go. It's an encouraging forward. It's pulling, okay, I got to change this. I got to do this now. Not me. I'm wallowing. But, and there's some of you who have a conviction in your heart right now that is not as related to sin as it is related to salvation. And salvation is just going, man, I need Jesus. And Jesus is tugging on your heart and going, man, I need to actually get in a relationship with him, because this is something completely different than what I've seen. The passion I see in this youth ministry is something totally different than what I've experienced before. Man, I want to learn to love God like some of these students around me love God. And all of that comes from having a relationship and spending time with him and giving your life to him. And so I want to encourage, if that's you, if you are going, man, I want to figure out a little bit more about what this means to follow Jesus. I'm getting a conviction in my heart, not just not to sin, but to give my life to Jesus. To invite him into my life and say, yeah, I'm yours. Because he's been calling for you for a long time. So if that's you, if you have felt that tonight, at any point in time tonight, I just want you to raise your hand. Just wherever you're at, just want you to raise your hand. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Just go ahead and raise your hand. It doesn't have to be up real high. We aren't going to make you come forward or anything crazy like that. We're going to do that. Just want you to raise your hand. There we go. We got another one. I love it. And leaders, just look around. Leaders, I want you to find, we had a couple, we had two over here. If we can get a leader over to each one of them, and in two guys, and if we can grab a next note card for them as well. Here we go. We got another one. Good hand, good eye. And so if that's you, I just want you to throw your hand up and just make eye contact with one of our leaders. And we got a lot of adult leaders around here. And all we're going to do, we aren't going to get weird. We aren't going to do anything like that. We're just going to help you walk through this. What does it look like to say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. And I want to start that conversation here. And I want to pray over you guys real quick. God, I thank you so much that you are challenging us, that you are calling us to something so much bigger, so much greater than ourselves. Because God, life is not about me. Life is not about us. It's about you. And God, I pray that the way we live glorifies you. The way that we live honors you in everything that we do, in how we live around on when we're all by ourselves, how we live when we're around the people, our friends and our family and our classmates and our church friends. And God, I pray that we live radically for you, to honor you. God, our life is all about you. God, I pray a new attitude of surrender. A new attitude of surrender, Lord. We love you. We need you. I thank you for those students who today gave their lives to you and are saying, yes, God, yes. Come take my life. Thank you that eternities are shifting in this place. We love you. We praise you. And we celebrate you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate God. Come on. We love it. That's what we're all about here. I want you guys to stand up. Bam, can we...